Should we just do one straight?
Sure.
You do the first part, I'll do the second part then.
Howdy, partner.
That's us doing it straight?
Yeah.
Lil, put aside the ego and embrace the moment.
It's time for another midweek drive transcontinental adventure.
There are certain actors in the business of show that always have a special place and have been mentioned across the years by some of our director colleagues, some of our friends, some of our Los Angeles correspondents, etc. One of them who has been talked about for years, really, is you must get her on the show. She's fantastic, etc. We can finally say we've reached that stage where we can actually say, welcome, Patricia Tolman, awesome actress. Welcome to the Midweek Drive. How are you?
Oh my goodness, I am so honored by that introduction. Thank you so much, Alex. Very generous. I am great. I'm great. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. This is great stuff because I know that sort of, I think there's mutual colleagues, Dean Haglund, who co-hosts a presentation with Phil Leonis, works with Claudia Christian, does all sorts of things. And we thought, yeah, it's high time you joined us on the program and now you have, and magic is going to ensue. I know that.
Yay! Yeah. I love it.
Especially as you started off in radio as a two-year-old, I believe. Was it only two when you were actually on your father's radio show in the Midwest?
I did. That's right. I remember standing. I actually have a little wee visual of it in my mind that I was standing on the table in front of one of those massive old-fashioned microphones. And I sang Bicycle Built for Two. I don't really remember that, but I do remember standing there with this talk in this microphone. It's ridiculous. What were they doing? I don't know.
Entertainment pressure. That's what it's all about. Entertainment.
Yeah, that's it. Really, that's it. They must have had a guest missing from that segment. So they put me on the table.
And strangely enough, radio hasn't changed over the years, but there we are. Life continues.
Right.
I've got to say, one of the things I'm really impressed by, and I know Rebecca Bond has been as well, who will introduce it in a few seconds, but it's this fabulous way in which you've really seized the opportunity provided by the pandemic to open up a whole new range of things and positive life-affirming stuff. In fact, I'll be honest, Patricia, you have convinced me I will actually be purchasing Pleasure Thresholds because it's important. I think it's going to be there. I will go for that. Exactly. You know, it's well, we're into its second printing, so we'll go with that. But, you know, that kind of real upbeat notions is something that we very much endorse within Siren, within Midweek Drive, within Southside, within a whole range of other factors. Was it something you just thought, right, okay, I'm going to go on with this and I'm going to actually thrive, not just survive, but thrive through this experience?
That is a really interesting point. I think I love talking about this right now because I want to give everybody as much hope as possible. And thank you for mentioning the book. I did add a couple of chapters. I added a whole bunch of photos into the 2020 version. And I'm home right now autographing it. So if folks want to get it, as soon as I can get my vaccination, I'm going to hit the road again. So guys, I'm home for like 6 weeks. If you go to b5events.com/store, you could buy the book autographed and I'll be honored to send it to you. So that's that commercial. Now about pivoting, and you know, I have a travel business. Good Lord. I was into the lockdown happened when I was in Scotland scouting out my Scottish adventure, and they canceled my flights. So, oh, poor me, my boyfriend, now fiance, and I got stuck in Scotland for an additional almost month. And we had to stay in a castle in the Scottish Highlands. It was awful.
Well, if it helps, Patricia, if it helps, Pat, we've been joined by Jessica Burtis. Now, Jessica's got an even more heartrending tale because Jessica was on exchange. She was with us at the University of Lincoln. She effectively sort of had to work her way back to North Carolina, which is where she is now. And her boyfriend's been basically in Northern Ireland for the last year, I believe, Jessica. Is that right?
Yep. COVID killed quite a bit.
I'm so sorry. What a bummer. But the thing is, just to continue on your thread there, Alex, I think I'm so grateful that for some reason, I think because I've had to reinvent myself a few times, that I didn't just curl up into a ball and grieve for the loss of my travel business, but I did go, holy crap, we got to think of something we got to do something now. And I created B5 events in 10 days. I just said, we can't go to conventions. We can't do business as usual. But my people, my nerd family out there need us to show up for them because they're in lockdown. This is not good for anyone's mental health. So what can I do? And I asked Mira and Claudia from our show, Babylon 5, to do my first event because I knew they would be very forgiving if I completely messed it up. And I thought they'll still love me even if I screw this up entirely. And I got a moderator and we the first platform that I used was not very good, but we just went into Zoom and now I'm on my 7th or 8th event coming up. We're doing a behind the scenes of Babylon 5 with the crew from B5. I'm very excited about that coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to rebrand it. I never meant for B5 events to be the name. And again, to your point, Alex, it's just not about the online events. It's about bringing magic back into your life. That's my whole thing.
It could have been before and be after, but never mind. It's just
about it could have been. I'm actually going towards magical living because after 2012, I had the old fashioned term is this nervous breakdown. Now we call them different things, but I really did have a breakdown, which turned into a breakthrough. But during that time, I was trying to get out of this pit of despair and depression that I had fallen into. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't talk. I was just such a mess for almost 6 weeks. And I lost like 20 pounds really fast. It was just not good. I couldn't see my way out of a very weird existential darkness. Mm-hmm. So I understand that if anyone's ever been through that, a lot of us have. And as I crawled around and I found new tools and I found mentors to follow and I just listened, I put together a lot of tools. I'll go back to that word that I think are really valuable for those of us who go into a crisis of not only, it could be a physical crisis, like the loss of a job or a health, or it could be mental health, which is a little less easy to grasp, or your business shuts down. You really don't know who you are anymore. Like, what do you do? So I think I've been honing the tools that actually worked for me. I've spent so much money on doing all these tools, all these workshops, all these coaches, everything I can think of, reading every book. And there's a commonality to the things that really, really work and the things that really, really don't. And so I thought, well, I could save some people some time here, curating this mess.
To use the thoughts of Mike Dooley, one of our regular correspondents from Florida, thoughts become things. Choose the good ones. It's quite simple. That's the bottom line. Okay, let's bring in Rebecca at this particular stage, because Rebecca, I'm sure you've done your research. You always do, as one of our ace English and journalism students from that point of view. Pat, she can go from all sorts of things, from the delights of Star Trek, for a stunt woman, extraordinaire, actresses, or night. I mean, there's so much. But anyway, Rebecca, where do you want to go with your first question?
Well, first of all, I'd love to say that it's really wonderful to see that you're inspiring others and you've taken to, providing something for others during such tough times. Yeah. I think it's lovely that you've reached out to people like that. And I was checking out your YouTube streams recently as well, and I think they're really, really fantastic. It really feels like sitting down with, an old friend almost, just having that kind of, that friendship almost. You really do have that lovely energy about you, which I think is great that you've put out there. And I think that shines through as well in your acting. So I wanted to ask, broadly, because I can't, even imagine singling one out. Do you find that that's something you're passionate about? Because it seems, when you're on the screen, that really does shine through, that you're passionate and you enjoy it.
Yeah, I think as far as community, reaching out, being in a part of I have received the benefits of people reaching out to me and I want to extend that to others. And I also think that being a nerd, I was a nerd my whole life, that we're often very awkward and not really sure how to have friends and community. And we get kind of beat up emotionally in school, if not physically. And so I really want to make everybody feel like you're at the cool kids table. you're never excluded in my world. You know, you're part of the cool kids. And now nerds, of course, do run the world. So we've gotten our revenge, but aside from that, yeah, it's one of the pillars of my business as it is, you know what I mean? The community is one of the main things that I strive to create.
Definitely. Jessica, and you can tell.
Jessica, let's bring you at this point. Any thoughts from yourself? I mean, I appreciate you might not have been familiar with Babylon 5. We haven't looked at it at Resonance Rewinds as yet. We'll work out all sorts of other things. Over to yourself, Jessica.
Yeah, I had never heard of it actually, but it sounds really interesting. And so do you like do a lot with sci-fi as a preference, or do you kind of just draw naturally? Yeah, you're kind of like drawn naturally to it, or?
Well, I wasn't consciously going towards sci-fi. Here's a dumb little story, but it's absolutely true. When I was in the single digits, my cousin and I, who is like my best friend in those days, would play with our ancient Barbie dolls, and we played Star Trek, and we also played Dark Shadows, which was a serial horror soap opera back in those days in the 70s. And we, I don't think it's any mistake that I ended up being in horror and sci-fi as an actress. I didn't intentionally do that, but I think that, you know, when you focus on a thing, you bring more of that to you. So I ended up doing that more in horror. In sci-fi, Babylon 5 was my first foray into it, but I also at the same time ended up doing stunts all over Star Trek. And this is, it was so funny because I've been working as an actor and trained as an actor, you know, since I was 15, and that, but I ended up in stunts in my mid to late 20s. And I, in the stunt world, they didn't know that I had any acting training. They just sort of said, well, Pat can say lines. I mean, that's how they would say it. Pat can say lines. I've, you know, been the star of a movie, but I didn't say that. So I would just go, yeah, I can say lines. So they would bring me into audition to say, I, Captain, I'm not kidding, for Star Trek. So then they would make me the alien of the month or whatever, you know, and I could say, I, Captain, and then they'd blow up the ship. And I die. And so my family knew that on Star Trek, whenever they saw me, something dire was about to happen, you know, they're like, why are you doing this? You're a classically trained actress. You could do entire Shakespeare's folios. Why are you doing this? I said, because see, when I died, that was $1,200. That's why I'm doing that. I don't have to wait tables. I'm working in my union. You know, I'm on a set. And I get to be on Star Trek, which is one of my favorite shows since I was a little kid. So it all kind of, you know, it's interesting how life kind of does that thing, you know, where it weaves together. And all of a sudden you realize, I've just created this whole chapter of my life around this thing. Interesting. And then, so going back to the bleak time that I had, I realized I completely built that. I built that breakdown. And now I don't want to do that anymore. You know? So if I could purposely or unintentionally
stop wearing the red shirt,
I can build what I want consciously, and it'll happen so much faster because I can focus on it and make that true. So that's what I call bringing the magic back in your life. You really can do that. It's amazing.
I was very tempted, Pat, to actually talk a little bit about your role in Castle back in 2010, which I thought was intriguing because basically you're a corpse from The Off then, basically. It's extraordinary.
Well, did you see the episode? Because I actually had scenes. I worked because we did, they start with my dead body, but then they go into the flashbacks. I'm mm-hmm. flipping through my book right now to find the photo.
You're playing Vivian Marchand, a psychic, which is opens up a whole range of things. Thanks to her daughter.
Here I am.
I'm
typecast as a psychic or a telepath. Anyway, the fun part about that to me was, if you don't mind me telling a quick story about Castle. So I have a huge crush on Nathan Fillion, like most of the nerd world. And my first scene was on the slab as a dead body, autopsied. So they put me into hair and makeup, around 4:30 in the morning, you know, before anyone else is there. It's just me and the poor makeup guy. So he does the whole dead body and puts the Y incision on my chest. And I have like this very careful kind of cotton gown so we don't mess up the makeup to get to the set. And I waddle into the set and they have lit it up like an autopsy morgue. I get up on the table, which is very tall. It's extra tall because the cast of Castle was very tall. They're all over 6 feet and over. So I have to be helped on a stool up onto the autopsy table because of course you're supposed to be naked. So I have these sort of, they're made of like ladies' nylons, like a little bust band and little panties, which of course don't stay there. They roll down and disappear. And then I have a sheet. So I'm trying to hold the sheet overly modestly, but not touching the makeup. I hop onto the table. They were so lovely. They warmed the table. They put a table warmer down. And I lay down on this nice warm steel table. And I put my head in the chalk, you know, that the little marble thing that holds the corpse's body. And then I wait and I fell asleep. It was nice and warm. I'm tired. I've been up.
I thought it was method acting carried to the extremes, Patricia. Really?
I didn't wake up until I hear voices and I see, the crew's in and the lights going on and they're okay. I have to be quiet and dead. So I fell back asleep. The next time I sort of wake up, the actors are around me talking and I realize I'm in the middle of a scene and nobody bothered to wake me up to say, okay, action. And I just, I gotta be dead. And I fell asleep again. The next time I woke up, everybody was gone. And I'm naked on this table, you know, with just a little sheet over me. So I was like, okay. And I sort of get the sheet wrapped back around me. I start to scoop my bottom off the table so I can get to the stool, which is no longer there. Now, how am I supposed to get down and hold the sheet at the same time? And who runs into the door? Nathan Fillion. He's like, Patricia, I just wanted to say, I have to go and get a makeup again. But I just want to say it's so good to meet you. I love Night Live Dead. You're an amazing actor. I love Babylon 5. And my jaw is on like, what? And I look like, and the next thing I could think of is, I look like this. My hair is slicked back. I'm made up like a corpse. I've got a big Y incision. My friend who worked on props, who was on Babylon 5, happened to be coming by. He said, oh, Pat, hello, Nathan, darling. May I take a photo? So he took a photo of us that I have that's in my book. But I was in this moment. And then they both had to go off and go to work. Luckily, Nathan was able to shove the stool back under the morgue table so I could get down and waddle off back to my trailer. Now what do I do? So weird.
What a classic way for Leta Alexander to meet up with Captain Mal Reynolds from Firefly on the set of a murder mystery by ABC.
Like this? Yeah. Oh my God. I was so bummed.
Extraordinary. Rebecca, back to yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, what a fantastic story. I mean, that was brilliant. That's the sort of thing that you just don't expect to happen behind the scenes. Now, when I watch that, I'm going to think, oh my gosh, she's asleep. And so you say you've been in you've been training since you were 15, or you trained when you were 15. So you've been in it quite a while. Is that something you'd always wanted to do? Did you have a passion for acting at a young age?
Yeah, I did. I did. Strangely enough, I did. I when I was really little, before I knew what I was doing, I was making up songs and I was being Twiggy in commercials. And she was a big model back in those days in the 60s and 70s. I was born in 57. So by the 60s, I was pretty cognizant of what was, you know, back in those days, too. Your TV only had a couple channels.
The Beatles,
that was
and
it.
The Monkees.
I did. I was so fortunate. It was a really remarkable time to be alive. So many changes we've seen since those days. Crazy.
And still continuing to see those changes. Of course, we talk up. Oh, there we are. Yes, actually holding up to the camera now, the official line from Castle, Nathan Fillion. And indeed, is it a corpse? No, it's Patricia Tolman acting as one. Superb. Excellent. That's great stuff. And in so many ways, I mean, yeah, it could have been worse, Pat. It could have been actually when you were actually in the settee and you had to be unplugged from the settee, basically. I mean, that was a whole range of things.
That was super fun too, because they wired me into the couch. Kids at home, the episode, the woman that I was portraying was murdered with an ice pick through her neck and stuffed into a couch. And I had to be, for the stunt itself, I was wired into the couch. So Nathan so graciously would come over and hang out with me, and we'd sit there talking. I've got an ice pick through my neck with blood everywhere, but I'm stuck to the couch with this wire. So he would come and hang out in between shots and just talk to me. He was so lovely. I mean, almost, as you do.
Almost like being back in Night of the Living Dead, I would have thought.
I hate zombies.
Well, you know, you were very good, and it has to be said, Pat, you were the best thing about that film. I watched it again recently, and the character of Susan, you brought it to life, and
Barbara. Yeah. I was very fortunate. I loved doing it, and it was that was a great time.
If I were to ask you, Pat, for both Rebecca and Jessica, and indeed our listeners, of course, which would be the best episode of yourself or Leta Alexander to kind of just work through to actually look at and analyze? I know it's a bit of a tough call. I mean, I was thinking recently, I quite like the Return, Points of Departure, or the whole sort of system, lots of other key things, Hour of the Wolf, etc. Was there anything which, from your own point of view, you thought, actually, go season 4, go season 5? Season 2, obviously, episode 20, etc. I mean, any sort of one which you'd say, this is what you'd go for.
You know, it's so interesting. I really didn't have one of those character episodes that a lot of series can point to. You know, you can say, oh, this character had a big episode in that season. But that never really happened for Leta. So I would say that I had a wonderful time working with Jeff Conaway. Anytime I got to work with him, it was a great time, or Richard Biggs. And, you know, I can point to scenes, but I can't really point to an entire episode. I did have one episode that was a phenomenal challenge as an actor. I don't think it's that epic for the audience, but I had a nude scene, a nude lovemaking scene, random on, you know, who else had to do that in Babylon 5? Why they want to see my 40-year-old tits, I don't know, but there you are, you know? And so I had that. And then I also that day shot, I was underwater in a tube because the Vorlons were experimenting on me. So I had to go from this sort of massive acting scene to this nerve-wracking nude scene and fake lovemaking, which is not ever as sexy as it's supposed to come off. I just here to say, kids, it's a nightmare. And then to be put into a tube, again, I'm supposed to be naked, breathing underwater. It was such a weird day. It took me weeks to recover from that day.
I mean, Patricia, that's a movie in itself, surely. I mean, you know, you need to actually...
It was so weird!
You know? I mean, you call it something like Take That, Stanislavski, you know, in terms of the sort of way forward, or the Alexandrian relaxation technique writ large. Any of those would work, probably. We were talking recently, Patricia, to Angela Cartwright from Lost in Space, and I was astounded to find that in her work, obviously back in the day with Owen Allen, etc., she didn't have a stunt double. She had to do most of her stunts herself. So
when she was little, like on Lost in Space, exactly. Yeah, because it's hard to find somebody that size. We used on Jurassic Park. We used little people. We had actual, you know, small adults portraying the children, the two kids.
Right. Excellent. It just goes to show. Here was I thinking it was all down to Lee Majors and the Fall Guy, but obviously you put that completely wrong on that basis, but that's a different line entirely. You should look at a musical version. Jessica, any thoughts from yourself?
I thought you had some productions that were off-Broadway shows, and so I was kind of curious to ask, those were live performances?
Yes. I mean, I started as a theater actor. That was my goal. That was my purpose. And I went to Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is a conservatory acting school in the States, and well thought of. I mean, the only thing is, it really didn't train me for the business itself, and it certainly didn't train me for film and television. But I was groomed for theater, which is my favorite thing anyway. So I moved to New York after school, and it's kind of funny you bring that up. I know I caught it was an off-Broadway show that then was turned into other things, as they do when you workshop a show. But it was basically burlesque. So I was running around in my knickers, you know, on stage doing old fashioned burlesque, you know, like music hall stuff. It was music and girls in skimpy costumes and guys doing really bad jokes, you know, like that kind of thing.
So a bit like the U.S. presidency, basically, for the last 4 years in many ways.
Oh, but, no, yeah. It was not that horrific. Not that horrific. There's nothing funny about the presidency under Trump.
Broadly, I mean, the energy that's coming through is palpable. It's tangible. In terms of good times, let's look sort of onwards now, because I mean, you've just proven that this evening. I mean, as we've been recording this, you were on stream a few moments ago, literally before coming on air. From that point of view, I thought initially you always get that thing on Facebook which says so-and-so was live. I say, have they died? No, they're still alive. They're still functioning. That's the important thing. It's very critical. So on that basis, what's the secret of the energy? Is it just a case of the positive output that you actually go for? Or is it just a case of deep?
I don't know, Alex. I mean, I appreciate you saying that. I don't know. Yeah, I think I don't hide much. And, you know, as you might have just heard, if you and yeah, that can kind of, you know, get me certain reactions, which are more or less desirable, depending on the venue. And I've kind of learned that that's okay with me. Yeah. You know, I feel like it's really important to be yourself, and I can take it. So whatever happens. But thank you for saying there's a good energy. I if I feel strongly about a thing, you know, and if I don't like what you're saying, you'll know. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's again, what it is. It's a good thing about getting to this age. There's, you know, we got these two beautiful girls right here, but I'm 63. You know, so you get to a point where you just don't, you know, and I won't cuss anymore,
yes, exactly,
but you just don't care. And it's like, it's really okay. It's really, I don't need your approval anymore. Or I don't, you know, I don't agree with you, and I respect your side of things, or I don't, I don't respect that. And you're going to know.
I've just remembered the episode I was thinking about, which is a very good insight into the character of Leta Alexander, probably divided loyalties. It's where you actually have to plip to send a message, and people aren't sure whether you're the good guy or the bad guy. And in the end, it's a whole range of things. That's by the by. Again, so many movies you've actually been part of. And lovely tale that I think you must share with us, because I know you've used it before, but it's important. Your time on Deep Space Nine, and of course on Babylon 5, where basically you're determining which area do you actually go and get your nutrition. Do you go to the garbage dump, or do you actually go to the nice Paramount lot? Just share that experience with us.
Right. Oh my goodness. I did have sort of the unique perspective of being on both shows at the same time. And I was part of the stunt team that helped to create the stop fighting styles for the different aliens on Deep Space Nine. And we developed some weaponry on Deep Space Nine. And I'm on Babylon 5 when we are, you know, holding our set together with duct tape, basically, you know, just trying to keep that. We're shooting in a warehouse way outside Hollywood, you know, way up in the hills.
Warner Brothers didn't quite have the funding that Paramount had. You know, they moved on from there.
They had funding. They just didn't care. They didn't see the benefit of the show. And we really were eating next to a recycling dump and a car paint factory. So there was all kinds of interesting fumes coming forth whenever we had our lunch break. And on Deep Space Nine, of course, we're on the Paramount lot, which is lovely, a classic lot. I belonged to the gym on the lot. I knew all the security guys. It was a delightful experience. But I was only a stunt person on that show. You know, like I said,
you may say only a stunt person. Gates McFadden would say you're a lifesaver. End of. You know, that's the best of all time.
I love that. I was recently reunited with Nana and Alexander Siddig for, they came and did a B5 event with me. And it was such a delightful reunion. We haven't seen each other in years, and just to be able to kind of reminisce. And I felt so fortunate to get a chance to work closely with Nana and Terry Farrell. And then, because I doubled both of them, and then I doubled the guest stars on the shows. But then the next day I'd be over at Babylon 5 shooting Alita Alexander scene, you know, or it just kind of flipping back and forth. And I didn't say anything to anybody about any of this. So I didn't tell my producers on Babylon 5 that I'm shooting on Deep Space Nine. And I didn't mention, nobody on Deep Space Nine really knew what I looked like, because I was always dressed as somebody else by the time they got to the set. And I was at what we call craft services, where they have coffee and snacks out for the crew. I was getting a cup of coffee, and I'm dressed as Terry Farrell. I've got her Dax spots on. And this producer, I won't say which one, came running up to me, and he kind of looked around furtively. And then he runs up to me and he goes, "I love you on Babylon 5. And then he disappeared. And I was like, how did he even know that I was on Babylon? How does he even know who I am?
It was probably Nathan Fillion in disguise, Pat. You know, that's the key thing. the unknown producer was there, you know, and he was waiting all those years later until he could actually be on his show again.
Wouldn't that be sweet? I love that. I'll pretend that's the case.
Yeah. Rebecca, anything else you'd like to put forward now?
It sounds so fascinating to be a stunts person. I think that's the first time I've ever had an insight into the behind the scenes of that kind of, you know, side of acting. Is that something that, how did you get into that? Did you try to get into that? Did you, you know, stumble into it? Because I've never heard or been able to talk to anyone who's been in that kind of role in a film. So how was that? And what, you know, how did you get into that?
I fell into it.
Quite literally.
Oh! I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just a
ka-ching.
Yeah, a little cheek. I was in New York, living in New York, and I would take dance classes, and I also took some period sword techniques classes, because nerd. And in those classes, I met stunt people. I really never thought about stunts as a career. That wasn't of interest to me. And one of the guys in the class who was teaching the sword technique said, I need a stunt woman who's 5'9" to double this actress with red hair. Would you do it? Because I'm 5'9". And I said, okay, I don't have any idea what that means, but okay, if it's money, I'll do it. And he said, we're going to fall down some stairs. So we worked on falling down stairs on the bleachers in our gym, just to practice, like, here's how you wear the pads. Here's how you do this. Here's how you tuck and roll. Here, you don't get your foot caught. You don't get your hands caught. And, okay, that's the basics. Now we just do it. So, of course, we get on the set, and the actress is wearing lingerie, which happens all the time for stunt women. We're always doubling women in peril who are wearing underpants. So there's no place to put any pads to protect ourselves, is the point. So I fell down these stairs twice, and the director loved it. And he said, can you do it again, but make it funny? And I was like, okay, like, whatever. And I did. I kind of did this ass over teacups thing. And they cracked up. I got paid $1,200, which is like kind of a magic number for me back then. That's as much as I made in the Macy's department for little girls. I worked in the little girls department of Macy's in New York City. That's as much as I made in a whole month. So I was like, what is this thing they call stunts? I would let it show me the way. And I just started to apprentice with stunt people.
It sounds interesting and fun as well. Was it fun, or
could be?
Obviously, want to pursue it once you tried it.
I was scared every single time. I mean, it's scary. It's especially in those days we didn't have CGI and all these other effects, so you're really putting your life on the line. And I don't think I've ever did a stunt where I wasn't amped up and had to deal with nerves, no matter how simple it seemed. But it was strangely. Something that I was good at for some reason. Who knows?
Patricia,
who knows?
It's more than just one thing you're good at. You're good at a lot of things. We said that at the start of the whole piece. So that's the whole essence of the whole thing, including actually authoring. So a reminder that Pleasure Thresholds can be ordered online. I will probably actually be doing that, which is a rare thing indeed. And I can officially announce you will be one of our authors of the week as well. We make that decision right now. It's very important.
Thank you so much.
There's so much more we could actually sort of talk about Shoot the Breeze with respect to our time on Austin Powers, both Austin Powers Man of Mystery and The Spy Who Shagged Me.
There's Photos in the book. Photos in the book.
Exactly. A whole heap of other things, but it's been fascinating and extraordinary. And clearly, everyone who said you must get Patricia Tolman on the program, absolutely right. So we've got two critical questions to put to you now, Pat. These are the sort of the absolute essential ones. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the program today?
Say that again.
Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the program today? It's our kind of, is it a smiley face?
Yes.
Good feedback?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I love that there's the three of you. So I'm getting a different energy from each of you, and you're all lovely. So thank you for being so supportive and interested. But this is fantastic.
Two of us are in Britain. One of us is in North Carolina. That's Jessica, University of Appalachia. That's why she got often speaking to Jessica, I often feel, Pat, it's like trying to get through to Zahadoom. You know, it's that sort of thing. I don't know. It's my microphone, but it's just Jessica. Yeah. We're going to have to sort out that microphone, my girl. It's just.
What's going on there? Sorry.
Yeah, it's like Zahadoom. You know, I can almost see Kosh, the ambassador Kosh, coming through on that basis. Amazing. Rebecca is in Norwich, England, a place you may have visited, Pat, or you may be coordinating as you've been up in Scotland. Norwich, not too far away. Different country, of course.
Yep, I've driven through it. I drove from Inverness to London because we couldn't during pandemic. You know, to get back to finally get our flight. But it was amazing.
Oh, amazing.
It was really wonderful. We were so blessed.
You realize now, Pat, that Rebecca will actually be ensuring that she'll be in touch with the civic dignitaries of Norwich. So they'll actually put up a plaque outside the city to say, Patricia Tolman has driven through this. You know,
I'm on it right now.
Right now.
So the next critical question, Pat, is quite simply, will you come back again? Can we prevail upon you to join us once again for another Zoomer in the not too distant future?
Anytime. Absolutely. I do a podcast a week. My goal is to do a podcast a week. So you would be helping me out.
I almost had a Jerry Maguire moment there. Help me to help you. Help you to help me. But actually done from Patricia Tolman's point of view. I mean, in fact, Patricia Tolman taking over the role of Tom Cruise. That's the next stage further forward. We'll go on that. Yeah, I'll just put it out there. Round of applause for Patricia Tolman, please, Rebecca and Jessica. I think we're definitely sort of rich round of applause from that point of view. Excellent stuff. That has been fantastic. Very briefly, how can people get in touch once again with B5 Events and indeed coordinate things and buy your book? What's the best way to go, Pat?
B5Events.com. It's just the B and a 5 events.com. And there's a store. There's links there that'll give you all the information you need. And I'm on all the socials. So if I'm on the socials, I'll be out there with you. It'd be great.
Lazy limps, those lazy limps indeed. They seem to be dragging us down. Maybe it's a reaction to Zoom. Can you believe a recent survey suggested that some people actually, with respect to home working, have even been texting to somebody in the next room just to send in a cup of tea or something? Unbelievable. Well, somebody who's definitely going to actually address this is the United Kingdom's lead lymph expert, Jules Wilcox, to talk to us now. Jules, we're already suffering from what is a Zoom fatigue-based connection. What's the situation with respect to how we're lacking exercise in terms of lockdown?
Well, Here at Body Balance and Systems, we recently ran some market research just to try and get a feel for the health of the nation. And we found that really a surprising number of people, 69% in fact, spent 11 hours and 12 minutes of their waking day not moving. So they were sitting down, they were lying down, just basically not moving around. And what that has done has led to a lot of fatigue, not just Zoom fatigue, but general fatigue. And the reason for that is that our lymphatic systems are suffering. Okay, so firstly, what is the lymphatic system? Well, it's really the Cinderella system of the body, because it works away quietly and unnoticed, helping our immune systems by removing excess fluid, toxins, waste and pathogens, and that includes viruses and bacteria from the body, and thereby helping to protect us from infection and disease. And the reason I'm here today is to try and raise the awareness of just why the lymphatic system is absolutely critical to our health and well-being. Because if it isn't working well, if we're not moving enough, then the symptoms of a poorly functioning lymphatic system are really quite wide-ranging. And they range from things such as, fatigue that we've mentioned before, aching limbs. It can lead to things like headaches, joint pain, digestive issues, and things like breakouts and the way our skin looks and feels. So it really is quite ranging. But actually, the most important thing and the most serious thing is that if our lymphatic system isn't working properly, it leaves us open to infection and disease. And obviously, at the moment, that is really top of mind.
Absolutely. Rebecca, based in Norwich, of course, fine student at the University of Lincoln with respect to English and journalism. What are your thoughts and questions for Jules?
Yes, Jules, I'd love to ask you, because I think nowadays with the pandemic especially, it's become arguably the hardest to avoid screen time. You know, a lot of us have moved online for university, for work, a lot of people working from home. And then for leisurely time, we're using our phones, we're using laptops, we're using TVs. Do you have any advice for people to try and avoid that sedentary lifestyle and really get out there and try and just get in the recommended amount of exercise?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I think firstly, the thing is that whilst the bad news is we need to move more, the good news is that we don't have to move a lot. So we're not talking about going on a 5K run every day to help our lymphatic systems. It's really the gentlest and the simplest of movements that we're talking about here. So, you know, you mentioned being, you know, sitting on Zoom all the time. Well, you know, if you can sort of do something like set a little alarm either on your, your Apple Watch or your Fitbit or your mobile phone to every, you know, sort of 60 or 90 minutes, give you a little bit of a prod to get up and just move around, just walk into the kitchen, get a cup of tea, walk up the stairs, go and do a couple of squats and lunges. You know, the simplest things will help us start to move our lymphatic systems. And that really is the key to lymphatic health. Other things that we can do, drink more water. Okay. Again, that is something that we now do recognize as being important for our general health. But if I was to tell you that lymph, which is the fluid that flows around our body and removes all these toxins and waste materials, it's 96% water. So the more dehydrated we become, the slower and the more sluggish our lymphatic system moves. And that's really important, because it's the lymphatic system that is the main trigger for our immune responses. Because most people, they may not have heard of the lymphatic system, but a lot of people have heard of lymph nodes, particularly in association with cancer. And lymph nodes are basically scattered throughout the body. And what they are filtering stations. So as our lymphatic fluid flows through them, anything that's in that fluid that might be harmful to the body is identified. And will either be destroyed by the lymph nodes, or if they can't manage it themselves, they will call on the immune system to actually send out the troops to attack those pathogens. So it's so important for us to have a healthy lymphatic system.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's really interesting, because we really don't have an excuse, do we? If it is just, we're not talking strenuous exercise. We're talking, correct, as you say, just get up, you know, walk around. And I do think that an Apple Watch has a feature that you can turn on for the listener, if this does help, where it will remind you every hour to just get up. It will tell you once you've done enough exercise for the day and just, you know, walk around for a bit. And I think that could be really helpful. And that's a feature I think we should take advantage of, hearing that advice, Jules.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, the other thing is that with if you cast your mind back to the heady days of lockdown 1.0, where the weather was absolutely beautiful, you know, it was warm, it was sunny. People were out and about all the time, getting their hours walking or cycling or jogging. And as we've moved through the 12 months, you know, not only are we becoming a little bit sick and tired of it, you know, the weather has turned, it's not as nice out there, and certainly the parade of people that used to walk past my windows every day has disappeared, you know. But now that spring is coming back, I would encourage people to get out there and start doing that again. And one thing that I realized this morning is that I looked out of my bedroom window and I realized that I was one of the few people in the neighborhood that didn't have a trampoline in my back garden. And trampolining is the best form of exercise for, you know, to keep your loop moving. So if you've got one out there for the kids, I would encourage you to spend 5 minutes on it. It's great fun. It gives you a fantastic workout generally, but it also gets your lymph really whizzing around. So I need to go out and get myself a trampoline rather than telling
sounds like we
else
all
to do.
Do
it. Oh,
certainly,
it's
great. Yeah. Great.
Fantastic. Yes, absolutely.
I think we need to have the caveat, of course, though, Jules, that you shouldn't actually drink in trampoline. I mean, I was astounded to find that 7% are missing that they drink every day. Drinking and trampolining, it's not good, it's not clever. It's step away from
well.
That.
Well, step away from that, certainly. But yeah, again, you raise a very good point there. And that is that, you know, we are drinking more. We're probably eating more sort of comfort food and food that is unhealthy for us. And that's giving us an additional burden for the lymphatic system, which is really designed to kind of clean out all of our metabolic waste, you know, the waste that we naturally produce as part of just living and breathing. So the more we put into our bodies in terms of, you know, things that we eat, a lot of the food we have, a lot of additives and things like that, it does overburden the lymphatic system and makes it, you know, makes it even more important that we keep it moving.
I'm still getting my head around that notion that nearly a third of people admitted to texting someone in the next room asking them to bring them something. I can understand it if you have management. You know, you kind of want to actually text the butler and you kind of want to have somebody who's at the other end of the whole system. But in the next room, that's ridiculous. Unforgivable.
Well, I hate to say it, but I know people who did that pre-pandemic. So you know, I think it just kind of exacerbates some of those behaviours.
Jules, where can we go to find out further details about your own excellent work, the lymphatic system, or indeed ways to actually maintain our fitness in general?
Well, I really would encourage you to go to our website, which is bodybalancer.co.uk, which will give you lots and lots of hints and tips about how to keep your lymphatic system moving. But it will also introduce you to lymphatic massage, which is a very popular form of massage in other parts of the world. It's very, very poorly known and understood in this country. And it will sort of tell you what that can do for your body. And it can also tell you where to go and get a Body Balancer lymphatic massage, which involves slipping into a fantastic inflating suit that will activate your lymphatic system while you lay there and relax. So bodybalancer.co.uk, your lymphatic resource.
Jules, I feel as though if we ever get out of the lockdown scenario we're heading to, we must actually try one of those body balancers, if only for the comedy effect. It's extraordinary.
Absolutely. You'll love it.
Jules, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self today. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zumba? Has it been good for you?
It very much has, yes. Now I just need to go out and do some squats while I'm making my next cup of coffee.
Very important. Jules Wilcox, lymph expert extraordinaire, huge thanks. And keep on keeping on.
Thank you.
Time for another Zoomer on the Midweek Drive for Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbeam.com. Keeping the COVID-19 bugs at bay.
Well, we are beginning slowly but surely to actually head out of lockdown. And what challenges face us there? Well, certainly it would seem that recent research from Bumble, the women first dating site, suggests that over half of women feel as though they have lost a lot of the precious year due to the pandemic in terms of dating, that is. Two-thirds of them admit that they're their own worst enemy, and they start putting pressure on themselves when it comes to dating. So the only person we can actually go to actually address this issue is certainly top relationship coach extraordinaire, the fabulous Sam Owen. How are you, Sam?
I'm great, thanks, Alex. Thank you. How are you?
Good, excellent. Now, were you surprised by these findings, Sam? Or is it a case of, well, that's the human species for you, male or female, we all put pressure on ourselves?
Definitely the latter. You know, we do all put pressure on ourselves. And I guess to some extent, you do expect people to feel that pressure because it does feel like we've lost a year of our lives. Having said that, though, it was really interesting to see that both men and women, 56% of women and 53% of men, so pretty similar, feel that they've lost a year of dating. So I really like that it's everybody feels like they're in the same boat, which means that everybody will be motivated with, you know, the end of lockdowns in sight to kind of get back out there and meet people. But of course, you know, you don't have to wait until then anyway. With apps like Bumble, you can just start making a move right now. In the case of Bumble, is the the female that makes the first move. For men who feel a bit nervous maybe about striking conversations with women, you know, it can be quite a good one to try out as well for that reason, for the men too.
So does this spell the end for Zoom dating then, and all those virtual datings that we might have just got used to in the last few months? Is it a case of, no, we're going IRL in a big way, in real life?
You know, I'm sure for a lot of people, they're just dying to meet up with people in real life. However, having said that, it's probably also made a lot, particularly thinking of my own clients, it's made the idea of video chatting with somebody before a first date, before even arranging one, actually much more normal, quote unquote. And so, you know, through the Bumble app, for example, you can actually video chat with people and you don't have to give away your personal Skype or Zoom details or phone numbers. And I know that's something that my clients have said, look, you know, I wouldn't want to do that. And so I think people will enjoy getting back out in real life, but also that we have evolved over this past year to find the use of technology just much more helpful, and we're just much more accustomed to it now.
Well, I think we spoke earlier in the pandemic, Sam, about how people are actually using the notions of meeting online. And again, having that, not anonymity, but at least safety of knowing that, well, you're entering a meeting room. It's a common area. It's a common virtual area. And you can obviously connect or not, as the case may be, on that basis.
Yeah, absolutely. It does bring an element of safety. But the great thing with video chat, of course, is that you do get a real sense of who they are still because of the body language that you still do get to see. And so you connect face to face, you get a sense of whether or not you even want to spend your time having a date with them. And that one of the other really interesting details that came out of the Bumble research was that because people have had so much time to themselves, so much me time over the past year, they feel really clear now on what they're looking for, and that they're also much less willing now to waste time on someone who's not right for them. And 39% of people said that. So actually, if you get onto the app now and get acquainted with somebody and maybe you have a video chat through the app, and then realize very quickly that actually there's just no synergy there between us, no chemistry. In that case, you've not wasted time arranging a date at a bar and getting dressed and going there and then getting back. And you've just found out really quickly. So I guess we're all going to want to really make up for lost time now, but we've got to do it in a fun way and not put that pressure on ourselves. Just dating should be fun. You should enjoy being single whilst you are.
Sorry, say that again. No, I was just going to say, just perhaps the strap line, don't stumble, go bumble, might apply to things from this point of view. Just a thought there.
I love it.
In terms of advice for women who might sort of feel as though they're not being kind to themselves, it is important, I think, as you've just alluded to, Sam, that folk take time to figure out exactly what they want and what they don't want, really, to hopefully ensure that they're not going in completely blind and say, oh, I'll just go where the cosmos takes me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a really key thing that I do with dating coaching clients is owning your worth, which I know is a key value for Bumble as well. You know, owning your worth, not settling and selling yourself short. You know, you get friends and family telling you, oh, you're being too fussy. Well, you absolutely better be fussy. This is your life. You know, the relationships in our life, there's so much research to show that the relationships in our life positively or negatively affect our happiness, our health, and even our lifespan. And so, you know, you should be thoughtful about about who you're picking. So yeah, it's great that people become really clear, and that's exactly what you want to be, is know what you're looking for, what you and what you're not willing to put up with, what your deal breakers are, and go and find them, you know, and be proactive about it, but enjoy it as well, because if you come across like you know, somebody's really desperate or stressed out, that's not going to help you either.
Absolutely, nor indeed the person who's usually desperate or stressed out. It's only going to lead to more challenges on the whole system. In terms of 2021, 2022, would you say that probably the key word will be blended dating? I mean, you've talked about maybe we will still use the online InVision meetings as a sort of pre-date package from that point of view. We've got obviously apps like Bumble. So is it a case of, you know, we'll use a mixture of both technology and, of course, the old traditional romance of presumably the notion of a meeting across a crowded room, eye contact, etc., won't be lost forever?
Definitely, you know, the real life contact
could lead to a contract, Sam, so you know, gotta be careful of us.
To be clear, I'm talking about the contact. The real life contact is irreplaceable. You know, we're humans, we're social beings, we get a great deal from being connected in person, you know, feeling each other's energy, having physiological synchronicity when we're in the company of others. All those things that can't be taken away from us, that's just how we're built. However, the online does just give you, you know, as you said, it just gives you the ability to kind of just sort through, you know, who you actually want to give that time to in person, and especially when you feel like you're making up for lost time. So it'll definitely be a bit of both. And the great thing with apps is that you can just crack on now and start looking now and start putting the feelers out there and just getting yourself back into just socializing and connecting with strangers, because that's something we've not done a great deal of as well. So for some, that might feel a bit difficult to begin with. So you can start now, get ready, so that by the time lockdown restrictions are lifted, you can meet up with the ones that you have spoken to and maybe even video chatted with through the Bumble app and actually meet up with them in real life.
There you go. And where would you suggest people should actually go, Sam, to find out further information about this survey from Bumble?
So you can download the Bumble app from the App Store and also from the Google Play Store.
And of course, I'll also give a shameless plug to relationshipcoach.co.uk, a wonderful science-based coaching site for lasting results, basically, with, curious enough, Sam Owen. Marvellous. It's great there. Sam, it's been fantastic connecting with your good self. Have you had a recently interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today?
Oh, definitely. Always a pleasure with you, Alex. And thank you so much for the plug. That's so sweet of you.
No worries. In which case, we look forward to connecting with you again as the year proceeds. Will you come back?
Absolutely.